Have our notes for this morning on there as well. We're going to be looking at this Easter message, the significance of the stone. Let's just ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, thank you for the good start today, for the sunrise service as we met with you early and just celebrated the empty tomb. We thank you, Lord, that we could even ask the questions that were asked in the song. Was it a morning like this? And we just looked at what happened. What was the significance of that day? This morning, as we look at the stone, we just pray that you would just speak to hearts again. If there's someone here, prick their heart, Lord, to make them understand their need of you, a personal relationship with you. It's good to be at church. It's good to have a Bible. It's good to pray. But, Lord, we have to have that personal relationship with you. And I pray that you would just speak to anyone here this morning who needs to make that decision today. And may this Easter Sunday be the day that they can put the flag in the sand and say, this is the day I trusted Jesus Christ. I know my eternal security, my eternal home is set because of what Christ did for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Over the years in our Easter services, we've looked at a number of different topics. A couple years ago, we just took a tour of Jerusalem the Sunday, and we went to the to Golgotha. We went to the place where he was beaten. We went to the place where they had the Last Supper, and just kind of visited there and spoke about what that all meant for Easter. We've looked at the empty tomb before. We've looked at the suffering Savior. We've looked at different topics that we associate with Easter morning. And today I want to look at the risen Savior, and obviously as it says up here, he is risen. But we want to celebrate his victory over death and Satan, and we want to look at the significance of that stone that was there on Easter Sunday. And I put in your notes there, how many times does a stone appear in Scripture with the significance of the story, the importance of a stone in different stories? And I just put down a few. There's a whole lot more than what we are going to take the time to do this morning. But I think about Joseph, when Joseph had his dream. And remember, Joseph was the one with the coats of many colors, the 11th son of Jacob, and he was arguing with God, and he had a vision of heaven, but he slept on a stone, and that was his pillow for the night. A little bit later, we see Joshua when he's leading them into the Promised Land, and they cross the Jordan River, and Joshua had the tribes each take a stone and put it out in the middle of the Jordan so that there could be a significant remembrance of the time that God led them from Egypt all the way through all those wanderings into the Promised Land. Finally, 40 years later, he led them there, and Joshua assembled the stones. I think of David, who took 5 stones when no one else was brave enough, no one else was ready to go out and fight Goliath, and Goliath was tormenting the army of Israel and saying, just one of you come out and fight me. And David, just a shepherd boy, went up to the king and said, I'll fight him. And it says he took 5 stones, he only needed one, but he took 5 stones and he defeated Goliath. We know in Scripture, in the New Testament, Jesus was called the cornerstone, that everything else is built on him. And obviously we know that from our personal relationship with him. But in this Easter story, the stone was significant as well. It has meaning for us today. And we're going to look at those in a minute. But if you have your Bibles, I didn't put the scripture up here, but you can turn to Mark chapter 16. Again, if you have those blue paperbacks, the black Bibles or King James, and you're welcome to use that. But the blue paperback or the version that I'm using now, we just added those a couple months ago. I didn't look the page number up, but Mark chapter 16, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 6. And I'll read that for us. It says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. These ladies were there on Good Friday when Jesus died, and now Easter morning, they're going to go prepare his body for burial. Verse 2, and very early in the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him."
As these women were walking that morning,
they had a discussion of an issue at hand for them. They asked, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" And it says, it adds that thought, "For it was very large." It's interesting that when we have difficult times in our lives, we often like to focus on physical things to help us cope. We had a friend in Reading, Bonnie. Bonnie and her husband were youth leaders in our youth group down there. And Bonnie had a terrible couple of years. She had some very, really, very serious automobile accidents. And one time she was airlifted from Reading to Lehigh Hospital with a severe accident. And I went to visit her. I got there right after she arrived, beat her family. And it was about a 45-minute drive for me. But I got there and I walked into ER. Her mouth was bloody. Her face was all cut up. And she had the pillow and she was just squeezing it. So I don't know if I had something in my pocket. I don't remember what it was, and I handed it to her, and she just squeezed. So we had prayer with her, and she ended up being fine. But she was nervous. Her husband was a bus driver, bus mechanic down for the bus line system in Reading. And he drove, and quite often she would get panicked. So I decided I was going to buy her, as a joke, a little squeeze toy that said something to the effect that, "When you're stressed, squeeze me." So I gave it to her, and she thought it was funny. Until one time we were heading up to Corning, New York on a youth retreat one weekend. And we were to leave Friday afternoon and be there Sunday. And Randy Snavely, who was a good friend of mine at that point on Family Life Network, he was going to be our speaker. And we got getting ready to get on the highway, and someone pulled out in front of me. Cheryl was driving our car, and she had Bonnie and two other youth leaders in her car. And our dog was in the very back of the station wagon. I was driving the church bus, and I had about 40, 45 kids on the bus with me, and someone pulled out, and I tried to avoid them, and the bus leaned a little bit, and I realized I am not going to avoid an accident here, but I was going to have to run in the back of my own car with my wife in the back driving it, and I got the bus straightened out, the person, I avoided hitting the car that pulled out in front of me. But I knew I was going to hit my wife. So I tried to turn the bus a little bit without hurting myself and people in the bus, and also trying to avoid hurting anyone in the car. And I kind of just hit the back and spun it. And I got out right away. And my dog, the glass shattered in the back. And my dog ran down the highway. And I didn't think about it, but I ran up to the car. And Bonnie was just crying. She's just squeezing this thing like this. Just squeezing it. And I didn't realize she had it with her. And Cheryl will remember, she just stood there squeezing. And I just wanted to make sure everybody was okay. And her husband, who was a practical joker, he came running up, and he just saw his wife squeezing this toy. He realized she was okay. That was the first thing he wanted to check. But he teased her about that. And she said, "I think this thing saved my life." And she's just focused on that. And she was just squeezing. In a time of tragedy, that was really important for her. But again, no one was hurt, not even the dog. The dog had a little bit of cut spots on its face, but we were thankful that no one was seriously hurt. But it was funny, as I think back on that Bonnie was focused on an object. When someone passes away, we talked about this morning, how when someone passes away, we can't understand why the world just doesn't stop. How can the world can keep going on when a loved one's passed away? But so often when someone passes away, we'll think of a special chair that they had, and that'll become special to us, or a certain shirt, or something they like to wear, or a picture, or something that's a tangible part of their life. We like to have mementos and memories of the life that they had and the life that we shared with them. They help us remember the person as we focus on something about them. And the stones were what the ladies were focusing on this morning as they walked to the tomb. They were focusing on a physical object, something that was going to be difficult for them, and they realized, we're not going to be able to move it. They were there on Friday when Jesus died. They were there at the cross. They watched him bleeding. They heard him cry out. They heard him say, "It's finished." They heard him say, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." They watched him die. They saw them take him down off the cross. They watched Joseph take him and bury him. And they were focused on the stone. I don't know that the women going to anoint the body of Christ were only thinking about the stone. Perhaps they were thinking, we're in serious trouble here too. Because any follower of Jesus, if they admit it, can be arrested. They might end up suffering the same thing that Jesus just suffered. If we go and we identify with his body, with this person, we could be in trouble too. But they weren't focused on the guards. They weren't focused on anything else. They were focused on the stone. And there's three things that I want to look at about the stone this morning. Number one, it was an obstacle to the women. It was an obstacle to the women. As I said, these women, Mary Magdalene, Mary, and Salome had been part of the events on Friday. They had seen what had happened. They had seen the burial. They knew he was dead. There was no question about it. There was no thinking, well, maybe we'll go today and 3 days later and perhaps he'll be there. Perhaps he'll wave to us and give us a high five and everything will be like it was on Thursday before he died Friday. They weren't thinking that. They had watched his body taken down and they knew that his body was in that tomb. And then they walked up to this tomb believing that the stone was going to have to be rolled by someone. And they got there and they realized the stone isn't in place. But in their mind the whole time they were focused on that. See, to them the stone meant, and I have it up here, the stone meant an end of Jesus' life. They knew it was final. They knew it was over. And as they're walking, they're thinking of all these things. He made all these promises to us. He had said that he's going to do all these things for us, that he's going to change the world, that he is going to be the Son of God, that he is our reason for living. He was also, or the stone also represented an end of their hopes and their dreams and the promises that Jesus had made, their hope for a new life. But the stone was also an obstacle to them as a physical barrier. Not only did it mean the end of Jesus' life, not only did it mean the end of all his promises and all the things that he talked about, we're not going to be able to move the stone. See, the stone was a powerful symbol for them, so powerful that that's what they were focused on as they walked. How are we going to get past this thing? How are we going to get by this obstacle? How are we going to get in and do what we need to do for the body of Jesus? That was a very important thing back in Jesus' time, was to take care of the dead body. Who's going to roll away this stone for us? We can't do it. We're just three women. There's no way. And that's probably a pretty decent picture of what the stone looked like. It was a walk-in entryway, and that stone was big enough to cover it. And many theologians don't think it was round, so that it just you could push it. It was probably an oblong thing like that, so it would take quite a lot of force to move it. So it was a tremendous obstacle to these ladies. That's all that they could focus on. But as they arrived at the tomb, we realized that the stone not only was an obstacle, it became an opening to the tomb. As they arrived there, the stone has already moved away. And I thought this is interesting as I was preparing this week. They were focused on the stone. As I already kind of mentioned this, they didn't look for the soldiers. They didn't look around and say, you know, is there anybody still guarding this? They knew that there were guards there when they left the other day. But they weren't looking for the guards. They weren't at all concerned about their own personal safety. They weren't concerned about what might happen to them if they walk in. If they identify with this one who was just crucified for claiming to be the Son of God, for claiming to be the Savior, for claiming to be the one with all these promises, the one with all the hope. It simply says, and entering the tomb. See, they walk right in. They walk right in. The entryway was open. So, what does that mean to them? What does it mean to us? Well, I have up here, it meant resurrection. They walked in and the angel said to them, he's not here. He's risen.
It meant new life. It meant not only we can go back to our hopes and dreams, but it meant a fulfillment of our hopes and dreams. Everything that Jesus promised when he was alive are now reality because he's back. He defeated death. It meant to them that death is not the end. Russ said that earlier. He said, everyone else who's ever died is still death. Jesus is the only one that defeated death. It meant to those followers, to those ladies that morning, not only was it an obstacle that had been taken care of, it was an opening to the tomb so that they could see the fulfillment of their hopes, their dreams, the promises that Jesus had made to them were now back in play. Everything that they had hoped for that was dashed on Friday was back in play for them. They could begin to hope again. But there's one more thing that it means. It was an object of victory. It was an obstacle to the women. It was an opening to the tomb. But it's an object of victory. See, the followers of that day, those ladies, and the disciples as they came later, are the same thing, saw the same thing that we see today. The early followers saw new life and new hope. We see our hope and our victory over death and sin and Satan. We see the means to a new life in a different way now. We had hoped, and they thought they were trusting in a dead Savior. Everything he said is done. Everything he promised is no longer possible. And now, with the empty tomb, they realize it's all possible again. See, Jesus had already announced earlier in his ministry, he said, you destroy this temple, speaking about himself, he said, in 3 days, I'll bring it back to life. I'll raise again. And that's the truth that rang in their hearts that morning as they entered this opening, as they realized this is an object of victory. His resurrection not only defeated death, not only conquered our sin, but it also defeated Satan. And I've thought of many times, I've talked about this before in messages, of times that I'd like to go back in history and just see things. I would love to have seen the world when it was created before man put up telephone poles and roads and destroyed. I would love to have seen the garden. I would love to have seen America. We're going at school, was starting the American Revolution. I would love to have seen New York before we did all the highways and high rises. I would love to have seen all these places. But I think there's one time in history, I said I would love to go back to the manger scene, but I would love to be able to go back on the day of resurrection morning, and I would love to be able to see Satan's face. Wouldn't that be awesome to be able to, just to see what Satan's face looked like? He thought he'd won. He was certain he won. And to see what his expression must have been when Jesus came forth from the grave. You see, the stone can also mean something more to us today. Not only does it mean a defeat of Satan, defeat of our sin, and defeat of death, but as we mentioned earlier, we tend to hold on to things in life, don't we? When someone passes away, we like to hold on to things. There's nothing wrong with that. There are times that they just bring comfort to us, but there's also times when we hold on to things and it's detrimental in our lives. It causes problems in our lives. It brings obstacles to our lives. If we hold on to traditions, if we hold on to sinful practices, if we hold on to things that we know are wrong, if we hold on to pride, if we hold on to a judgmental spirit, if we hold on to laziness, and we hold on to just apathy in our relationship with Jesus Christ, they can cause us to fall. And God comes along, he wants us to have this object of, or look at this victory that he offers us through Christ in this love relationship with Jesus, the one who conquered the grave, the one who conquered sin, the one who conquered Satan. And he wants us to be like the women that morning who cannot remove the obstacle on their own. There's no way they can move the stone. And God invites us into a relationship where he says, I will move your obstacle. I will take care of what it is you're holding on to, what you're trusting into for security. God can and God will roll away the stone that's the obstacle in your life. The obstacle that's keeping you from fully trusting him. The obstacle, the stone that's causing you to say, well, I've heard about Jesus since I was a child. But you know, I love the world too much. I love the stuff in this life too much. And maybe someday I'll come to Jesus. We don't know what we're going to have tomorrow. And Jesus wants to invite or wants to step in and remove that obstacle. And he wants you to understand that there's no stone, no obstacle in your life, no sin that's too great that he can't roll away, that he can't remove it, that he can't cause an opening for you to come and understand who he is and what he did for you. Today we celebrate that the stone was removed from the entrance of the grave. And that's the picture that's up there. We celebrate that he defeated Satan, that he defeated the penalty of our sin, which is eternal separation from God. There's only two choices. We can trust in what Jesus accomplished through that Resurrection Sunday, and we can have the hope in heaven if we put our trust in him, or there's only one other choice, and we can end up in hell, but the choice would be ours, because Jesus says there's only one way. So look around. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And he says, you don't come to the Father any other way but through me. Just as Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. He wants to say that to you as well this morning. He wants to say, I love you. I paid for the sin, that obstacle. I can remove it, and it can be finished. You don't have to worry about it any longer. And we can say just the opposite of what the angel at the tomb said. See, the angel at the tomb said, he is risen. He's not here. But we can say, he is risen. He is here. I trust him. I'm asking him to come into my life. He lives, and he is present. Here with me this morning. We're going to watch one more video. It's a Gaither song called Then Came the Morning. It goes right along with what we're talking about. The words, the lyrics aren't up here, but the music's very easy to understand. It's, again, it's a powerful, powerful truth about Easter morning. And then Russ will come lead us in our closing song.
Thanks. They all walked away. Nothing. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they'd seen. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail, how could a night be so in her heart. she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again.
Let's all stand. We'll sing one verse of the last hymn, He Lives.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear a voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me, I know He lives.
Trust you have a happy Easter. Enjoy it with your family and friends.